We've been talking about these events pertaining to the second coming of Christ for the past 3 weeks. And this week here, we're going to look at what Jesus had to say. You'll find this account in Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. And those are all similar accounts. And again, we wonder why these different perspectives. And it's like if we were all watching an accident, we would see the same thing, but we might bring out things a little bit differently. It's all true, but just, and that's what you have here. If you read those other accounts, you'll see a lot of similar accounts and then some little extras here and there, like Luke. We're going to take a little bit of a look at Luke here this morning as well, barring how long I take here, but I'm not going to keep you too long today. But this is a huge subject. And just as the disciples are interested, throughout history, people have been interested in the concept that Jesus is coming back. And that is one of our statements of faith. We believe in his second coming. Sad to say, a lot of the church today has thrown that to the wind. They don't believe it. They think, that's a bunch of not true things. We've talked about some of the liberal churches that have pretty much thrown the Bible and the Word of God to the wind, and that's sad that these things are not going to take place. And but we firmly believe that these events are going to take place, and we leave the timing to God. And it's interesting, they are walking by the temple. Now, this temple, about 15 years before Jesus was born, Herod the Great wanted to appease the Jews. The Jewish people, for anyone who has ever conquered the world, they were always like a stickling point with people. They seemed to be a thorn in their side. They always were rebelling and having things happen. In the first temple, had been destroyed, which was Solomon's temple, by Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. When he came, he destroyed the temple. And the warnings of the prophets of the Old Testament came to pass. Israel had walked away from God. They had not listened to what the prophets had warned them about. And eventually that judgment came with obviously Assyria took Israel, the 10 tribes, and then Benjamin and Judah were taken with Babylon, and the temple was destroyed. And the prophet Jeremiah also said, though, that 70 years after that captivity in Babylon, and this is some of the stuff we've gone over, that God would return the Jews to their land. And he did that. And under Cyrus. And remember, we mentioned, and this is why the awesomeness of God's word, 150 years before Cyrus was on the scene here, the prophet Isaiah named him by name, that he was going to be the one that would bring Israel back to their land. And when he heard this from the Jewish settlers there in Babylon, he was just blown away. And his heart was inclined that he did do that. And the Persians, the Medes and the Persians, allowed the Jewish people to go back and rebuild Jerusalem and their temple. And that's what the books of Ezra and Nehemiah were all about, is that rebuilding. And again, it was in trouble. In fact, people tried to oppose that, just like throughout history. God's people have always been opposed. And so there's a lot of lessons in Ezra and Nehemiah about this. But when that temple was rebuilt, the people who had seen the former temple, it said they wept because it was nowhere near as beautiful as the first one that Solomon had made. So then this temple was used right up until the time of the Romans, and then Herod the Great decided, hey, he wanted to try to win some brownie points with the Jewish people. He said, well, hey, I'm going to remodel this temple, and he made it magnificent and beautiful. And again, we don't believe to the same glory that the first one had, but it was a very impressive structure. So with the disciples walking by that and hearing Jesus say that not one stone is going to be left on another, I was like, whoa, what? And what is amazing is that in AD 70, under the Roman general Titus, Again, the Jewish people had been a thorn in the Roman side. And guess what? The Romans came into Jerusalem. They sacked the temple, destroyed it. And Jesus' initial words here were fulfilled right at that point about that temple being destroyed. But the rest of this that we're going to look at today, now that we're going to see some of these things throughout history, these things have taken place. There have been events like famines, earthquakes, pestilences in various places. There's wars and rumors of wars. We see all these things throughout history. But one of the things that's going to mark the last days is going to be the occurrence of all these things in a greater frequency and intensity. And so, let's take a look here. And the first thing that Jesus says, watch that no one deceives you. I'm telling you, throughout history, in fact, the New Testament is full of corrections by the apostles in Satan never giving up, trying to keep people from knowing the truth about Jesus. And then once we come to know Jesus, then he tries to work from within, what we would call wolves in sheep's clothing, people who come in and have an agenda, and they distort and twist the truth about Jesus and about what the church is supposed to be doing, and they lead away disciples. And throughout history, we have seen this. And the call is for us to have a discerning heart and to recognize that not everyone that says Jesus is Lord is from Jesus. And that's the whole thing. People can say the thing. And that's why Jesus said, by their fruits you recognize them. He said, not everyone who said to me, Lord, Lord, on that day is going to be admitted into heaven because they did not have the fruit of the Spirit. They did not surrender to Jesus. They had ulterior motives. They had hidden agendas. And they led people away from Christ instead of to him. And so this is a warning we need to take to heart. And it says, many will be deceived. And we look at throughout history, we see people deceived all the time. And if we think we're standing firm, the warning of Scripture is take heed, lest ye fall. We always need to identify, what am I believing? What am I putting my life and basing the truth of what my life in Christ is about? And as we have that kind of sensitivity and discernment, we can make it through. And then the wars and rumors of wars, see to it you're not alarmed. Just think of World War I and World War II. There was a lot of preaching of the end of the world, both those wars. And right now, the point that we're coming at, again, there's a lot of things that are being spoken of just because of the world situation. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. The earthquakes right now, they're saying they're happening at a greater frequency than in any time in recorded history. Right now, there are earthquakes all over the world. And it says, all these are the beginning of birth pains. This is one thing as we look at these truths in Scripture that there are indications that we're to take note of and to understand that, hey, I need to kind of consider some of these. In fact, one of the passages I want to refer to, Luke 21 right now, is that back in 2004, I believe that was when the tsunami came in and what killed like 250,000 people. And I'll never forget my boss, I was in car sales at the time. This was before I was at Spider Lake, just the year before. And Steve had gone to church his whole life. And he said, he come in and he goes, Gary, what in the world is going on? I said, you mean the people's hearts failing them for fear at the roaring and the tossing of the... He's like, don't tell me that's in the Bible. And I says, oh yeah. So I went and I showed him, and you know, that event, that's when Steve said, I've got to read this book again. And he sat down, and it was as he sat down and started reading that God got a hold of his heart, and he realized he was just going through the motions. He had not totally surrendered. He was just kind of caught up in the tradition of church. And he made a surrender of his life to Christ, and thank God to this day he is serving God down in River Falls with his children down there. Him and Jane are serving God in a church down there in River Falls and doing great. I contact them every once in a while. It's just great. So God takes the truth of his word and applies it to our hearts. It's like, man, there is stuff that is very relevant for us today. And it goes on here, then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. You look at throughout history, the church has been persecuted. The apostles were persecuted. Throughout history, we've seen throughout the Roman Empire, different emperors would rise up and, you know, crush and kill Christians. And we've seen, sad to say, in many times in recent years, in fact, we think persecution is not a reality. How many have heard of Voice of the Martyrs? It's a ministry that really brings out, man, the church is being persecuted around the world. In fact, right now, it's terrible. A lot of, you go into Africa, and the Muslim Brotherhood and these radical groups are trying to eradicate Christianity. And you hear our media say absolutely nothing about it because they really don't care. And you wonder why. Why is that? Why is Jesus always in the crosshairs? It's because the enemy of our souls knows that that is the only name by which people can be saved. And so that's why he is trying to wipe out those who hold to the testimony of Jesus. And so there is going to be persecution. Now in America, I have to say I have never really genuinely felt concern about being persecuted. Although right now, the way things are going politically, depending on what all happens here, that could possibly change. And should that, in fact, that's where many say, well, we're going to be out of here for this. There are different theories on when Jesus is coming back. We looked at last week, Daniel's 70th week. There's the pre-trib, this time when the Antichrist comes on the scene and makes us a peace treaty with Israel. And then there's the mid-trib. We're in the middle of that when the Antichrist sets himself up as God, which we're going to look at in a little bit here that Jesus mentions. And then there's the post-trib. And I mentioned last week, I believe in pan-trib. It's all going to pan out. The fact is, we're not going to figure out exactly, but the big thing here, and this is where the next verse comes in that concerns me, a lot of people feel that they're going to be out of here before it gets bad. Now, I'm telling you, it says, as we're persecuted and hated by all nations because of me, verse 10, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. I tell you, one of my concerns is the people believing in the pre-trib. And again, I pray it is pre-trib. I don't want to be here for this. However, we've got a job to do. The church's job remains the same whether we're here for this time or whether we're not. We have to be about our Father's business. We have to let the light of Jesus shine through us. And so as we come to these situations, one of my concerns is if I believe that I'm going to be out of here for everything bad and all of a sudden, man, my life is threatened because of my faith, and I've been told all along, well, you're not going to be here for this. And it's like, it'd be pretty easy for people to say, I'm throwing the towel in on this because this obviously the Bible is not true. When it's not the Bible that the problem is, it's what we've been taught about the Bible. And that's where the importance of us understanding that Jesus is with us through everything. And the bride of Christ, one of the big things I've heard is, why would God beat up his bride prior coming to get her? Why would he do that? And as I say, well, the bride of Christ throughout history has been persecuted. And it's not an unusual event. It's us in America who have enjoyed 250 years of relative good things where we didn't have to be persecuted for our faith. And actually, America sent out workers into the world. So there is my concern. And it goes on, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And we see that. In fact, it's warring in my own heart because of all the sin going on. It is. It makes you angry and want to lash out. And it's like, no, we have to guard ourselves that we do not get that way. And it goes on, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. That's where trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. We need to have this. We're singing these things in our song. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. And he has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us to what? The very end of the age. So I take that to heart. And that doesn't mean that we don't have to deal with our feelings. And we've talked a lot about that. And it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, we do not know when that will be, but you know what? We have the technology today to do that. You look at what we can do. We can broadcast for years with radio and TV, but now with the computer, it is even more accessible that people can access people who preach the good news of Jesus. And yes, missionaries are still being sent, and only God is going to know when every nation and every tribe and every language has heard the truth about Jesus. And again, we leave that timing to God. Now, this is what we talked about last week, verse 15. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. All right. Now, there are those that says back in 167 BC, Antiochus Epiphanes. He was a leader that came after Alexander the Great, and his four generals took over. And in his eventual kingdom there, Antiochus Epiphanes did here in the Jewish temple set and put a pig on the altar and sacrificed it. That was an abomination that causes desolation. Antiochus Epiphanes is a type of Antichrist. He did something that has been, in fact, Nebuchadnezzar kind of set himself up as God too. You see that these leaders a lot of times have this feeling about themselves that they are really special and that they are God. And it's like Nebuchadnezzar found out he wasn't. And actually, I firmly believe from the testimony of the book of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar came around and recognized that there is a God in heaven that controls our lives and that we need to turn to him. But this abomination spoken of through the prophet Daniel, most recently, Hitler is a type of Antichrist. Hitler came. Now, did he build anything in Jerusalem? But no, he warred against the Jewish people and tried to wipe them out. 6 million Jews that we know of in Nazi Germany were killed. So we see these types. But eventually, and this is what we looked at in depth last week, is there going to be a political ruler, a last one-world government that is going to allow that Jewish temple to be rebuilt and that, again, there's going to be worship. And then in the middle of this seven-year period is when this individual is going to say, I am God. And you are to worship me. And this is, again, Satan's goal throughout history has been for worship. This is going to be his last ditch attempt. And there's going to be all kinds of counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. And this is where I want us to go back to. There's some passage here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that says this about this individual. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Okay, so don't let that stuff detract you and turn you away. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. So obviously, Antiochus Epiphanes had already come. He is not the final Antichrist. He is a type, a representation. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? In other words, this was being talked about in the New Testament times. So yeah, 2,000 years later, yeah, we should be talking about this. And it says, and now you know what is holding him back, that he may be revealed at the proper time. And this is the whole point of it. God is in control of time here, not man. Not man at all. It's in God's timing. And I've said this a lot, and I'm not going to, you can read the rest of that, but it talks about the counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles that this individual is going to perform. So if we build our lives on just miraculous events happening, this guy is going to be the most fine-tuned political leader ever. He is going to wine, dine, and be a fine talker. A lot of people are going to like this guy, and yet his fruit is going to become evident as he moves on and then eventually sets himself up as God. So this is the challenge that we see. So that's what Jesus is speaking of here. And then he says, let those who are in Judea, back to chapter 24, flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it'll be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. We think Nazi Germany was bad. It's going to be worse than Nazi Germany. That is the kind of government that this is going to turn into. And again, it's not going to appear that way at the beginning. If those days had not been cut short, and you're asking, how am I going to get through this? Yes, I am. I'm going to get through this. Had been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. You look at the events of Revelation. In fact, in 2 weeks, Rachel, we're going to begin a study at Rachel's house on Daniel and Revelation. I was just talking with some people out by Moose Lake. They want to begin a study on it a little bit later here too, because there are a lot of things that are taking place that really bring these things out. And but the sake of the God is going to, at the proper appropriate time, Jesus is going to come. And Jesus is going to say here in just a little bit about that. And it says, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, don't believe. In other words, it's not going to be like, oh, Jesus came last week, he's up here, let's go see him. It's like, no, he's going to tell what it's going to be. He says, there are false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the desert, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible, even in the west, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. You read in Revelation and it says, all the peoples of the earth are going to recognize, whoa, what is this going on? Who is this coming in the clouds? And it says, every eye is going to see this. And that's what we have got to look forward to when God says, enough, enough. And he is going to intervene in human history before we destroy ourselves. So all this talk of us destroying, yes, are there going to be wars and rumors of wars and lots of people killed in these things? Yes. But Jesus is going to come before we destroy ourselves completely. And it says, wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. It's like, yeah, there is going to be a lot of death and a lot of things. You read the book of Revelation. It says, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. How many remember the song that basically, go ahead and hate your neighbor, go ahead and cheat a friend, do it in the name of heaven, justified in the end. What's that? Yeah, one tin soldier rides away. That's mocking the return of Christ. It said there won't be any trumpets blowing come the judgment day. Well, guess what? There is going to be a trumpet blowing. And everyone is going to hear it. And it is. It's beyond our comprehension about this. And it is. God is going to physically, visibly intervene in human history, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson, and that is the hope set before us. And that's it. When Jesus said, when these things begin to take place, to lift up and look and to be filled with hope, because this is the indication that these things are going to be filled. Our redemption is drawing near. Now learn this lesson, he said, from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Now, there's been a lot of debate on which generation this is, and we'll leave that to God, too. But I firmly believe what it's talking about here is that there are going to be people who are going to see all of this in their lifetime. Methuselah was the last one before the flood came, and he lived the longest of all people. That's all it takes from one generation to not pass away, is one person to be alive and to be able to witness all these events that are going to take place in their lifetime. And it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now, could we debate these things theologically? Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of arguments. This is why a lot of people don't like to talk about this. But this morning, I just want, doesn't this, when you start to listen to this, it makes sense. It's like Jesus has given us a good summary of things here to take to heart, that we don't get weighed down, that we don't let the darkness. In fact, I love it. John, in his gospel, does not talk about the end time stuff at all. But he talks about what Jesus said to them, how he taught, the example he said. And I love, he alone has this recording when Jesus stood before Pilate. And Pilate said, don't you realize I have power to set you free? And Jesus said, you have no power except that which is granted you from above. And it is. God knows that these things are going to take place. Whoever this individual, this political leader, and the spiritual leader that we talked about last week, the false prophet, are going to come on the scene. God knows who they are, when they're going to come on the scene, what they're going to do. We've been given a glimpse here. And he said to Pilate, though, this is your hour when darkness reigns. And that's what it's going to seem like for us who believe in Jesus at this time. It's going to seem like nothing is going the way that we want it to. That it's going to seem like hell is winning. But guess what? That's where the beauty of this comes in. Just as Satan thought he had Jesus when he crucified him on the cross, it's going to be when Jesus comes again the second time, and Satan knows that his time is short. Satan already knows that he's defeated. And this is the thing. Jesus is going to come and fulfill the truth of his word. And as the book of Revelation says, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. From our first week looking at Daniel's visions, that is the final kingdom that is going to come. And that is the one that we can look forward to. And then it goes on here, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. We can take this to the bank. And even though banks may fail, ours is a heavenly bank. Our treasures are in heaven, and that's where they need to be. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now people say, oh, Jesus is God. How come he doesn't know? We have to understand that when Jesus became one of us, he laid aside his glory. He didn't walk among us as God himself, but he left that aside. He emptied himself In fact, as the hymn puts it, of all but love. And this is what Paul said to the Philippians. He made himself a servant, taking on human likeness. And he says, now he's been exalted to the right hand of God, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. But also, it talks about in Corinthians, where eventually it's going to be where God is all in all. Is there mystery in this? Yeah, there is. But right now, only the Father knows the exact moment. The angels and Jesus know that the days are coming. Things are happening. As we see this fig tree, as we watch Israel and all these events that are going on, we need to see that there's indications that the event is near. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. I love this. You see a little mystery left in there? Saying to all of us, don't think that you've got it all figured out. You leave the timing to God. What our job as the church is to live out our faith. Our job is to win people to Christ and then to disciple them. That's what we are going to do. That's what we are endeavoring to do and trying to get small groups up and going again. And we are going to do this. Eventually, I know David wants to do this and Al wants to do this. And I know Harry is kind of, and Brenda is continuing to meet with her small group. But we want to get things going where we are about our Father's business. Even though we've been kind of tripped up by COVID and all this stuff that's going on. But we need to be winning people to Christ and discipling and answering questions. And the fact is, Jesus is coming. And he's coming for a church that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that is about our Father's business, and that is looking forward to his coming. And that we can sing songs about it. And with a joy in our heart, go out into the world knowing that God is with us. And yes, there's going to be challenges, but Jesus is with us in all those challenges. And I love that passage out of Daniel that says, when they fall, they'll receive a little help. That's at the end of the book of Daniel, and I love that. In other words, I firmly believe what that's referring to when it comes to time when we have to lay our life down. You look at what happened with Stephen. When they were stoning him, it says heaven was opened up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And it was like, whoa, you think that was a little help? It's like, yeah, he knew where he was going. And that's what we need to have before us, is that that is going to take place. Our faith is going to become sight. My cousin just passed away here a week ago from sudden heart attack. She was at the doctor's office and she had a strong faith. And I went down to the, it was going to be just a visitation here on Wednesday. And the beauty of our faith, and I talk about this a lot, is, and my cousin, her husband asked me to share a little bit. So I got to share, and I know that she had a strong faith in Jesus. And she is okay. Her faith has become sight, and that's what's set before us. Our faith is going to become sight. If we're alive and remain till the coming of the Lord, or if our lives, we pass away before that, one day, we're going to see Jesus face to face, and that's the good thing, and that's why this is a hope that we have to sustain us through the challenges of life. So, that went a little longer than I wanted, but anyway, we flew through a lot of verses here, and it is just a summary of these things, but Again, we've talked a lot about all of this in the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, and now again here with Jesus in his own words. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group of people that has come here this morning on a beautiful snowy morning. And thank you, Lord, it's not really snowing right now. It's just a light. And we thank you, Lord, that we get home safely today. But Lord, I do. I pray that we will take these truths to heart and that we will dig in, that we will read, that we can read Daniel. We can read Revelation. We can read what Jesus said and what the apostles taught. And Lord, there is such a relevance. There are so many things happening right now in our world that are like, boy, the fig tree is budding. And again, we leave the timing. I'm praying, Lord, that all their planning and their plotting, that it's not going to amount to anything right now, that it's going to fall flat, that something's going to happen that'll delay this. But eventually, it is going to happen. There is going to arise this one world government that's going to come up. May all of us recognize that. But in the time that we are here, we need to love Jesus with all our heart and love the people around us in the world and do what Jesus has called us to do. That's what the church is all about, to win the lost to Christ, and then that we have the fruit of your Spirit demonstrating ourselves to be your disciples. Help us, Lord, we pray. Give us discernment. Take away fear. Take away worries. And set us on the solid path of our foundational faith in Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we ask this. And all God's wonderful people say together, amen. Amen.